Hey everybody, I'm Corbin.
And I'm Camry.
And we are siblings reconnecting with the joy of our Disney-filled childhood. Join us as we discuss, debate, and rediscover the second star to the right. This is The Neverland Files. Hello everyone!
Hello!
Welcome. There's a pause there. Welcome to The Neverland Files podcast.
We are having another birthday week where we, our dad, we got him to pick a movie and it was a surprise. And he narrowed it down to several sports movies and he ended up picking Miracle from 2004.
Yes, 2004. Yes, that's when it came out. And he had a hard time because he wanted us to review The Man from Snowy River, which isn't on Disney Plus. So maybe we'll do that one someday in the future.
I feel like this was a good second place.
No, this is a great second place, but I was a little bit excited for The Man from Snowy River. But anyways, beyond that. So the Miracle, not The Miracle, right? It is Miracle, the movie from 2004. Should we jump into some story time, Camry?
Yes, let's jump into story time. Do you want to start with box office?
Yeah, let's do some box office. So in 2004, this is again before Disney took over the world. And so in number one was Shrek 2.
Oh, heaven help us all.
Which, I mean, it's fun.
Is that the
it's
one not... with Prince Charming?
I don't know.
If it is, I'm like... not fully okay with it, but I'm like somewhat acceptable because he's
okay.
A joke. I love laughing at him.
It's not like our favorite, but you know, Shrek, there's some things there that are interesting. Number two was Spider-Man 2, The Passion of the Christ, number three, Harry Potter, The Prisoner of Azkaban was number four.
I love that movie. It's my favorite Harry Potter, everyone.
But to find Miracle, I was scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little surprised and I came to number 47, Miracle, just below Barbershop 2, Back in Business.
Oh, geez.
And above Big Fish. So, you know.
I mean, Big Fish is like a super artsy Tim Burton movie. And then the other one just sounds like a joke, right? Aren't the Barbershop movies like a comedy situation?
Something like that. So Miracle, yeah. It's there. It's somewhere.
It's a sports movie and it's a hockey sports movie. So that may have alienated a lot of, did we go see this in theaters? I remember us owning the DVD. So I don't remember if we actually contributed to that box office.
I don't recall if we saw it in theaters. And before we really jump into the meat of Miracle, I want to start off with this caveat. I am not a hockey expert. My hockey knowledge is limited to video games from 20 years ago.
Corbin is very knowledgeable about sports, generally speaking. So I think you could do a pretty okay talking about hockey.
Yeah. So, I was looking at the average Joe. Yeah. And I was looking at our listens, and I think we may have one person that listens in like Wisconsin or Minnesota or something like that.
Oh, we profusely apologize to you because we're from Utah. Yeah.
We're going to say some really ridiculous things, but for most of you who don't watch hockey, you'll just go along with the ride. So we are the experts now. Here we go.
Okay. So the first part of my story time that I wanted to bring up is there's some making of stuff on YouTube. Not a whole lot. I was a little disappointed. I know that we have more making of stuff on the DVD that we have, but I didn't want to dig through our DVDs down in the basement somewhere and have to find them. But I remember on one of the DVDs, they talk about how they had this conundrum going into this story, because do you cast actors and teach them how to play hockey, or cast hockey players and teach them how to act?
I'm sorry. That just sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Can you imagine
actors trying to play hockey? Can you just see them like with the stick down? They're like propped up and like scooting along like
they
really
have, like,
slow.
Day one, they're out on the ice with like their little walkers. they're shoving them into
the shot as they like are passing past the camera.
So it became very clear that they were going to have to do some hockey casting and see if they could find some kids that they could also teach to act. So in the extras on the DVD, they had this whole sequence where essentially that sequence in the movie where they have everyone come and try out And they actually did that in real life. They had a huge casting call for hockey players, and did that exact same process, and then like would narrow it down a little bit, and ended up with like a core of guys that most of which wouldn't have to act a ton, but there were some of them that were like, okay, generally speaking, like you guys are going to have to like pull your weight with acting as well. So I thought this was interesting. I heard Kurt Russell in an interview. He was saying that he wanted to go full Herb Brooks and really immerse himself in that character. And because of that, he kind of stayed away from the hockey players when they were on set in between takes. Cause he didn't want to, he knew that this is their first movie and he didn't want to like confuse them with him being like all buddy buddy with them in between takes and then yelling at them during takes. So he really just kind of removed himself. But I guess since then he's become somewhat close with a bunch of them. So
I was going to say, is that code for this movie star actor to basically give himself an excuse to stay in his trailer until it's like time to shoot, and then he like walks out with his entourage?
He's like, hello. He said that for him it was like actually really hard because he's one of those people that loves to like sit and chat and get to know people in between takes and stuff, and so he like, it was kind of depressing for him to like have to isolate himself so that he didn't like confused, because I would imagine that would be confusing. You're like, man, Kurt Russell, he's like bipolar or something. Like one minute he's screaming at me and the next he's like my best friend. I'm so confused.
That's the challenge of being an actor, right? Is being able to flip the switch and turn into a completely different character, right?
So yeah
wow. Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah, so we'll get into some more specifics about actors as we go through character report cards. But for those of you that don't know, this movie is based on a very true story and this will come up later on reviews, like team, this actually happened. Me and Corbin, do you remember the 2002 Winter Olympics opening ceremonies?
Yes, because it was in Salt Lake. So I was close by, by the
home.
It was
a huge deal here. I was too little, but our biggest thing in our family is we're always excited to be like, oh my gosh, like who's going to light the torch? And I was too little at the time. So I was like, who are all of these old guys in hockey jerseys? I was really confused. But now like being older and seeing this story and being like, oh, that may be one of the best torch lighting Olympic experiences ever, is when they invited this team, the real team, to come and light the torch in Salt Lake. So,
which makes you kind of sad that you didn't have a chance to live through it, because we missed out on that
on the excitement of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was happening. And I remember it was like one guy out there, it was the captain, Rizzo, he had the torch and then he like kind of waved people off.
And then everyone came. And I remember our mom, I feel like she was really emotional. She was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So some people, it was like, wow, this is the coolest thing ever. And we were kind of like, wait, they're all like,
I'm like, I thought you could only have one. Why like are there 20?
I just need to touch the torch so we can light the cauldron. Yeah.
But
so
like watching it now, like going back and looking at the videos on YouTube, you're just like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. Such a cool, we're a little biased about the Salt Lake Games, but we think they did a spectacular job.
it was pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. So now that we've cleared up our acting and our true story situation, Corbin, anything else in story time or just go to report cards?
Well, there was just a couple of things. And I know very recently, there was a particular player from the team that passed away tragically. So there have been a couple of players that have passed away, and then one of the actors actually passed away.
Super tragically, so sad.
Yeah, he was in his mid-30s. One of the main actors, he played Jack O'Callaghan.
The blonde surfer boy with a little bit of attitude.
Yeah, the one that gets hurt, he's not going to be able to play, has like this rift with some of the other players. But really, I think... he actually after playing in this movie, he played in a couple other side little gigs, didn't do a lot, and then ended up in the United States Army and then died in 2017, which is really, really sad, right?
Like it is. And I, from the research I did, it sounded like I could be completely making this up, but it sounded like he was in a position in the Army where he was actually like I don't think he was a doctor, but he was like helping other people with like their traumatic experiences and stuff. So like a really good guy, like just trying to make a difference. And
yeah,
so sad.
Too bad. All right. Well,
character report cards, Corbin. Now that we've got the serious stuff out of the way.
Now we could be ridiculous.
Yeah, brace yourselves, kids. Oh, okay, boy. Corbin, who is your first outstanding for Miracle?
Okay, outstanding. Now, with a movie like this, when there's real people, actors playing real people, you can kind of get confused. So I might need some help here.
Okay.
But my first outstanding, I'm going to give to Patty Brooks.
Oh, the wife.
Yes. I thought she was great. There was one pretty big, moment that I could not stand with her.
And she still made outstanding. She had like two moments in the movie. So she blew one of them.
No, she really held a lot together here in terms of helping Herb sound like, look like a human being. But
that's a good point.
At the very first of the movie, she had a costume party at their house.
Oh, Corbin, extroverts like costume parties, and that's okay.
That's why I still gave her an outstanding, because I know it's a personal problem, but it just was.
And she didn't make Herb go. I mean, he was upstairs playing hockey foosball with his son, so it's not like she was like, "You get down here right now."
That's exactly where I would have been. If there would have been a party in my house, I would have found the farthest place I could have gotten away from the party, but still be in the house. And that's what I would have done. But she really, I think, held the movie together in terms of humanizing Herb, giving that soft touch when he was just a grumpy, so focused, hyper-focused person, which was good-ish. But she was great. I love Patty Brooks.
I thought it was interesting that I agree with you on the humanizing aspect. I think you learn a lot about Herb and his background through his interactions with Patty. But I also thought it was interesting that Doc is talking to the assistant coach, and the assistant coach is like, this is his first time kind of working with him. And he's like, is Herb always like this? And Doc's like, no, he's like, he is a great coach, but I have never seen him be like this. So in that sense, it was good for me to know that like this whole like tough guy, I'm not your friend act was very much a part of the mental game that he was playing with the players. And it wasn't necessarily his actual personality. Does that make sense? And I think you see that come out in the Christmas party. Like he's just kind of uncomfortable with them making like he wants to be their friend and be close with them, but he's also like, what we've got going here is working. So
yes, with the players. Is that a discussion? Are we talking about Herb?
Patty, I didn't have anything. She's not even on my list, so she kind of fell into the incomplete. She was great. I just, there wasn't enough of her for me to be like, I have a lot of outstanding, so I had to like start chopping stuff off, you know. All and right. I didn't want to put her in needs improvement because I thought she was didn't need improvement.
She was very, very patient with this maniac.
Yeah, again, that Susie Baxter situation.
Yes.
Her and Susie would be friends. Okay, my first outstanding. I'm actually going to give it to Kurt Russell. Because here's the deal.
Wait, hold on. This is what I was talking about. Actors playing characters. So like you're giving it to the actor, not for Herb.
Well, Corbin, I don't know. Like, I think Kurt Russell did a good job playing Herb Brooks. Okay. Like, I don't know what you want me to say.
Okay.
It's live action. So you kind of have to like
acknowledge
the actor's existence.
Okay.
The only Kurt Russell movies that I'm super familiar with are his early movies with Disney, where he kind of is playing the same personality in every movie. And it's, you know, he's not having to stretch himself really in an acting sense. Yes. Maybe he was. Maybe he was like, this is so out of character for me. But I think this is, I'm not super familiar with his later stuff, but considering I've only seen him in like lightweight Disney movies, I felt like this was a really good performance. And I really appreciated that that he approached it with the sense, he went to the director and said, look, if we're going to do this, I can do it one of three ways. I can either be Kurt Russell playing a coach named Herb Brooks. I can either be kind of a character of Herb Brooks and kind of bring in and like say some of the things he says, or I can like go all out. And he's like, no, I want you to go all out. So it sounds like he really took the time and effort to get to know Herb Brooks before he died. He passed away before the movie was over, and really kind of study the his mannerisms, and I mean, it wasn't a flawless performance in any sense, but I think he did a really good job. And I was surprised because I didn't know he had those kind of acting chops.
You know, I read, and I don't know if you read something differently, but in regards to the portrayal of Herb Brooks, that the story, obviously, they, as far as the hockey team and the games and things like that, is very accurate. But the Herb Brooks portrayal, it wasn't strictly his personality, like the actual Herb Brooks.
Yeah.
They made him seem very distant and
antagonistic.
Yes. And that's not who he really was. So, okay. And they said in this article, they were saying that this was kind of the movie making coming in and infusing a little bit of difference to the story,
yeah,
to kind of keep the intrigue throughout. So
I would imagine you would have to do that in the storytelling process too, because the story is about the growth and development of this hockey team. And even though like the USSR is like the team, kind of the antagonist in the background that they're all working towards beating, you have to have somebody in the foreground that is kind of that conflict with the players and with the team. So mm-hmm. That would make sense as a storytelling way to like kind of make him more of that character, but I didn't know that about Herb Brooks. So Kurt Russell still did good though.
I mean, based on what
the screenwriter wrote.
Yes, it was a really good performance. I gave Herb Brooks, and again, this is where I was like struggling, I gave him satisfactory because, well, for a couple reasons. One, because it sounds like they changed just the actual person just a little bit for the storytelling, which is okay. That's not terrible. But also because
welcome to movie making.
There were also moments with Herb where, and I had someone bring this up to me, and I thought it was a really good point. The way he treats his wife, even though like there's reconciliation, he says sorry and he tries to figure things out, there's just some moments that are a little cringy where you're just like, ugh, like he's just grumpy and like so not acknowledging that there are people in his life that he is affecting because of his hyper focus on winning. And yeah. So there's just a few moments with Patty. Of course, Patty was outstanding in my book.
Corbin loves Patty, so he's going to defend her to the grave.
I was team Patty, and Herb was like, oh, come on, buddy. Like, just
I'm with you.
So
anyway. I mean, part of me is like, welcome to the 1970s. I realize this happened in 1980, but you have to realize like these people, therefore, you're playing them as if they've grown up through the 1950s and 60s and 70s. So it's like, yeah, well, welcome to the culture. Thank goodness things have changed. Because honestly, like, and people have a hard time with that historical accuracy of stuff in some point where they're like, well, that's offensive. And you're like, yeah, but it wouldn't be realistic for them to, and I'm not talking about this relationship necessarily specifically, just things in general with movies that are historical. People want the characters to have the moral compass and sense of people who live in 2020, and you're like, they can't, they live in the 1800s or they live in 1930. And so, yeah, anyways, little tangent, whatevs.
Well, I totally agree with that. And that's why one reason why I struggle sometimes with documentary type movies like this is that you want to believe that it's accurate, right? Like I want to consume this and be entertained, but still feel like either it's accurate or I want to know what specifically is inaccurate or that they've embellished. So I started thinking about this a lot and I was like, ooh, what they should do is, you know how you can turn on closed caption?
Oh
with movies?
Gosh, here comes, Corbin's going to ruin the movie magic making process. Here we go.
No, I want some of these movies that are based loosely on true stories or based on true stories. It would be nice if there was a feature like a closed caption that would have notes. Again, I'm just being a total nerd about this.
Oh,
but
my
notes.
Gosh. No, team,
listen,
this is what you do.
No, stop.
You just listen. Go and read a book afterward. That's all you need to do. Go ahead.
Notes that say this is very accurate in the portrayal and there was some liberties taken with these particular scenes and things like that. I think that would be interesting. And that is why they do director's cuts, or where they have directors talk about the movie and you can listen to them talking through the movie. It would just be simple notes on the screen that would just say, this is something accurate or not. I think that would be very interesting with these documents.
Actually, you know what? I think that they have stuff like that, but I'm wondering how you would incorporate that in a streaming world. Because I think DVDs, like you said, like you can watch a director's cut, you can watch the commentary, you can, and there are some movies where like they have like facts pop up and stuff. I don't know how you would do that in a streaming world though, when you don't have like that many options for one movie. Anyways, here's the thing with based on true story movies. I feel like if you go into these movies thinking that you're getting 100% fact, and then you come out and find out that it's not true and you feel like you've been lied to, you kind of need to actually understand what the creative movie storytelling process is and maybe be a little more familiar with it and be a little more willing to allow the experience to just wash over you instead of fact, like checking everything. And not to say your idea is bad, Corbin. I'm just saying in general, because again, this will come up in the reviews and I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. We got on a tangent.
What's true, what's not.
We got on a tangent.
Okay. All right.
Corbin, your next outstanding.
My next outstanding is Doc the trainer. He's the one that brings perspective into Herb. I keep wanting to call him Herb. Without, you know, Herb.
It's okay. You can be British, Corbin. Say Herb.
and I think he brings just a little bit of groundedness for all the. It's not chaotic, but just with the team, there's tension there, right? Where the players are trying to be like young kids trying to figure this out. They've got this coach that's pulling and pushing them in ways that they're not comfortable with and familiar with and trying to help them reach their potential. So I like Doc as that mediator to help with that. So I really liked his character a lot.
I agree with you. I didn't have him on my list either, but yes, when he was there, he was a nice calming force.
And I liked his accent too.
Oh yeah, he had a good accent.
Yeah.
my outstanding, I have a feeling Corbin is going to yell at me hardcore for this, but anyway. I mean, yeah. My outstanding is Mike Abruzzioni.
Oh, okay.
Patrick O'Brien Dempsey. Okay. From the age of, how old was I when this came out? I don't even remember. 10?
12.
I loved Mike Abruzzioni. He was my favorite character in this movie. Had the biggest crush on him. Watching this now as an adult, I'm still like, yes. I told my mom, I was like, I need Mike Abruzzioni to have a grandson that's my age and to live nearby.
He's not that old.
I love the character of Mike Abruzzioni and I love his character arc that they take through the story, which is, and again, I don't know if this is accurate, folks. So go ahead and look it up if you're concerned about me lying to you. But I mean, I'm talking about the movie. I like this concept of, from the beginning, they very much make it clear that he is not the best player. He is not the best hockey player. When they go to tryouts, the Olympic committee guys are like, they're like, cross him off the list immediately. Like he's good, but he's not good enough. Like get him out of here. And yet for some, I think Herb makes it very clear in the beginning. He's like, I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right players. And I think you see through the movie that Herb Brooks picked him for a very specific reason. And it wasn't so that he could go and score goals and be the best player on the ice, but he kind of ends up being the glue that is holding that team together, which is why he ends up being the captain. And I just love that type of character who is willing to like put old rivalries aside and be like, let's just be friends and play hockey. Like, why does everything have to be, let's punch each other, you know? So for that sense, I love Mike Abruzzioni, and I think Patrick O'Brien Dempsey, for being so young and having practically no acting experience, like, I think he does a good job.
Did you know he was in Thor?
Yeah, I saw that on his thing, and I was like,
He's one of the agents. I think he has one line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it sounds like he, like, there were a few of them that decided to, like, try the Hollywood thing after this came out, and he was one of them. And like got a few things, but wasn't really taking. But I think he works in the industry as like a set sculptor. So he works on like sculpting stuff for like backgrounds and movies and stuff. Cause he's like,
oh, interesting.
I think he's an artist and stuff. So, I mean, he's still involved, but just not in front of the camera.
I gave Rizzo a satisfactory. I think you influenced me to think like, wow, this character is so awesome. And when I watched it this time, he just seemed a little soft. Like he would kind of stand up to Herb, but but then her would just like bark at him, and he would just kind of like whimper and like cower a little bit. He was the person that was keeping, I think he was very important for the whole team in terms of keeping everybody together and stuff like that, and being an example and a leader. But there were times where I was just like, he's just like, don't hurt me, Herb. Like, I'm so sorry. I know I'll get cut in no time. So there were just a couple of moments where I was like, I remember him being a little bit more rah-rah-y.
I think that's what I like about him, though, is that because you've got plenty of the rah-rah, okay? You've got O'Callaghan, who is a firecracker. You've got Rob McClanahan, who is also a firecracker. You've got Jim Craig, who is a fire. Like, you have all of these guys who are just like, yeah, like, let's go punch it out. And I'm okay that Rizzo is a little more soft-spoken and insecure, because what is the rest of the hockey world value? They value what you can do on the ice, and he comes into this situation and he knows there's one more cut to be made. And you can see it when they call Coxie in to go and get cut. They look at each other and he's like, it should have been me. That guy is better than I am. And why am I still here? So it takes him a while to find, like, to really ease into that role of like, this is why I'm on this team, is to be holding everything together. So I'm okay with him being soft-spoken. I like soft-spoken hockey players. That's great. Okay. Enough Rizzo time, because I could go on. Okay, Corbin, any more outstandings?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I have one more I want to mention really quick. I'm going to give an outstanding to Ralph Cox, simply for when they're doing their introductions. And he says, hi, my name is Ralph Cox, and I'm from Wherever Won't Get Me Hit.
You know, it's funny every team, every group dynamic has some goofball that bubbles to the surface, right? That you cannot function in any corporation, any employment setting, sport, anything without some goofball bubbling up, and that is Coxie.
And that was like such a high tension moment that it was like, oh, thank goodness someone has some humor in them, because everyone else wants to punch each other.
We're not robots. Thank you. we have permission to not be robots.
So anyways, just wanted to throw out Ralph Cox. And you feel bad for him. You're like, oh, this is awful.
He takes it like a man, though. I respect the way he took it.
He was so devastated, but he really took it well. Okay.
Yeah.
Satisfactory, Corbin. Anyone else we haven't mentioned?
Satisfactory. I've got a few folks in terms of the hockey team. I've got, I mentioned Herb Brooks. I've also got, I already mentioned Rizzo, Rob McClanahan.
The dark-haired guy?
The dark-haired guy. He wasn't... In terms of like the ones that they highlighted for the players, he was the least involved. He was there. So I gave him like, he's good, you know. But I do love the moment in the locker room when he yells at Herb Brooks. You know,
that is such a good moment. Completely agree. I forgot about that moment.
And he gets after him.
And it's interesting to watch this movie and know that these guys are hockey players and not actors first. Because you sit there and you're like, yeah, I'm like, I completely bought that scene. Like, that was amazing. And I love that, because for a lot of the movie, Craig Patrick, the assistant coach, was kind of like, oh my gosh, Herb Brooks is a nut. But I love that Herb Brooks walks by him and he's like, think that'll fire him up? And he's just kind of like, oh, you know what? That was an acceptable move. I like it.
This is the one time I approve your shenanigans.
Yeah. He's like, thumbs up. I also have Rob McClanahan in my satisfactory, along with Jack O'Callaghan and Jim Craig. They weren't bad. They were, but I think all of them like did their job well. They just weren't my favorite. That was reserved for Rizzo.
Yeah. Jim Craig, he was kind of, I just felt like the performance was almost outstanding. Like there were just moments you're just kind of like, I believe it. I'm okay with it. It's a sports movie, but it wasn't the level that you're used to when you're watching a movie like this. So anyways.
Which, I mean, who can you give me like an example of a level? Like who did his level did he not quite reach for you from another sports movie?
Just with some of these actors, it seemed a little mechanical at times.
Yeah.
Where it felt like it was just very like, okay, now be angry. Okay. And then explain, you know, it's not as smooth in terms of transitioning between emotion and conveying that. So I don't have like a specific example. And that's why I gave him satisfactory. Like it wasn't bad, it wasn't terrible, but that you could just tell that it wasn't as polished,
crisp,
as a typical. It was noticeable, which you want your actors to not be noticeable in terms of the emotion they're conveying. So
okay, that's good clarifying, because I want to clarify that, like, I guess I'm not as like nitpicky or pay as much attention to acting. So if I notice something that's off with acting, it's really obvious, because I'm pretty forgiving about stuff. Like, I'll pretty much go along with anything. So I think for me, this Satisfactory is more based off of their characters. And I think Jack O'Callaghan has a nice little character arc with where he gets injured and they tell him, if you ask to play, you're getting sent home. And he kind of has to like get comfortable with not fighting against the coaching staff anymore, but just like going along with it. And again, like, Jim Craig has some good moments with his dad, but I didn't resonate with as much of their character arc as I did with Rizzo. So mine's more based off of like the writing, I guess, of those character stories.
Yeah, it might be kind of like Avengers a little bit, where with Avengers, there's so many characters, there's not much to like in the movie, you're like, people are just kind of coming in and out really quickly.
Yeah.
And you feel like there's a lot more depth to Jim Craig and his story, but you just don't, there's not enough time for it. So yeah, it's probably a product of just the limited amount of time that they could.
Yeah. Anybody else for Satisfactory?
So I had most of just the hockey players in Satisfactory. They were good. They held it together, but that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay.
I'm ready to move on to
needs improvement. Oh, geez. Yeah. Brace yourself, kids. Okay. I only have one needs improvement, and it's like one group of people.
Oh, the committee.
It's the committee. The Olympic committee, guys. Oh my gosh. From the first 5 minutes of the movie, I was like, get these guys out of here. Especially the guy with like the brown hair that's like slicked to his head and it's like long. I was like, I don't want to look at his face anymore.
Yes.
Oh, that anyway, guy. So yeah, the Olympic committee guys. I was just like, nobody cares about your dang politics or like that you want to be involved. Okay, get out.
It had very much of a Hoosiers feel to it, like hometown. This is how you run practice. This is what you do. And Herb Brooks had to stand up to him. And I like how he just was like, I don't care. Like, I'm not even going to acknowledge these people. I'm not even going to interact with them. The guy that was in between Herb Brooks and the committee, boy, what a brutal job.
Like, no kidding. Like, he's like, I've got to go back in that room and get pounded, or go to talk to Herb Brooks and get pounded.
You've put me in a spot, a heck of a spot. Yes, you have. I'm so sorry. So yeah, the committee was definitely needs improvement.
And honestly, like, I don't even know if there is a way to improve them, because they had to play that kind of like stupid political role where it's like, well, we've invested time and money in this and we deserve to have a say. I don't know how you make that more palatable. it's just not a good place to be in.
What's aggravating is people watch this, and this is how our society is constructed.
Yeah.
Committees like this that are petty, want to have a say, have no skin in the game, and then celebrate and act like they were involved when there's something happened. So
that's why I love like that Herb Brooks like kept them at arm's length, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, you're not coming in to wish them good luck for the game. You're not going to be here for the interviews. And I love during like when they were doing the interviews, that one guy's like, well, why can't we talk to some of your players? And what do you have to say about people who think you just want the spotlight on you? And then he sends like the assistant coach in. And that guy needs improvement too. I hate journalists. And that is why sports journalists are the worst. They ask the stupidest questions at the stupidest times. And I want to smack them.
Oh, it's so true. Okay. I have one last needs improvement. Unless you want to keep talking about the committee.
Nope, I got it off my chest. Okay, I'm just breathing over here.
Oh, good, good. All right. My last needs improvement is the assistant coach, Craig Patrick.
Really?
He is my least favorite part of this movie. Every time I see his face, I can't stand him.
Okay.
And there's a couple of reasons.
Okay.
One, he is the bad guy in my mind, the bad guy in the Truman Show. He's Marlon.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Okay, so you have other things registering in your brain. I'm with you.
And the problem is there's nothing different about him. Like, it's the same actor, same character. And you're like, this is freaking me out. I'm getting flashbacks to the Truman Show. And then he's also in White Collar, a show that I like a lot. And he's the bad guy in that movie. And so I just don't like him. And then also with that, his performance was just so blah. Like, he wants to stand up to her Brooks. He has kind of an opinion about things, but they cast him wrong and it was poorly written. I started thinking about who would I have replaced him with, and I was like, give me Buddy Hackett, Mickey Rooney, Dick Van Dyke.
Corbin, this movie was made in 2005.
2004 it came out, and Buddy Hackett died in 2003, so maybe he would have made it.
They're like wheeling him around in a wheelchair.
Yeah, but I was trying to think of like Don Knotts, you know, like Herbie sidekick, like kind of a little bit more humor, something, because this guy was so blah, and every time I saw his face again, I just was like, I don't want him in this movie.
Okay, so that, I didn't really have much to say about him. He was just kind of there for me. I don't think taking the humorous role with the assistant coach would have been the right. I think that would have felt really jarring and not well-placed. This movie's a little too, I don't know if there's room for it in this movie. You would have been like, who the heck is this joke and how did he get this job?
Well, here's the thing. Herb Brooks specifically said to Craig Patrick, the character, I need you to be close to the team and, you know, kind of
be their friend.
Be their friend, because I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And I've had coaches in the past that were kind of like him a little bit, where they were trying to be buddies, but watching him, I was like, if I was on this team, I would rather talk to Herb Brooks than Craig Patrick, because he wasn't cool. He wasn't funny. He wasn't anything. It was just like, I'd rather talk to Doc. I'd rather talk to the committee. Put me through
that.
Oh,
heck no. I'm not talking to the committee. I'll talk with
Herb Brooks. There's so many other people I'd rather talk to. Patty, but Craig Patrick, he did not play his role well as Herb Brooks assigned it to him.
I think he would have been, so maybe not like comedian, but you definitely need somebody who was a little more easygoing and lighthearted. Because I felt like you're right. Like, there was a sense of him where he was like always on edge around Herb, where it was like, I wish I could have an opinion, but I feel like I'm going to get decked. And I'm right. Yeah, I'm with you on that front, but I wouldn't go as far as say Don Knotts or Buddy Hackett. That's a
Buddy Hackett would have been awesome.
No, that is the wrong movie. Okay.
Oh, darn. Okay.
Any other characters we didn't talk about that you want to cover?
No. Oh yeah. One last one. This is just a random one. When Herb Brooks is making his like rah-rah speech before the game against the Soviet Union, there was this player. I mean, you're seeing these players' faces. You're like, who is this guy? Like, I don't remember anything about this guy. And there was one in particular that it was almost shocking. And I just call him Ramen Noodle Hair.
Was it the blonde guy?
The blonde guy.
Really, really like, blonde hair.
Yeah. I was like, who is this guy? Like, all of a sudden, he just came out of nowhere. And so it was a little jarring.
He had been there.
It was a little jarring for me. And so it kind of took me out of the moment. It was a good speech. I liked the speech. But yeah,
and Ramen Noodle Hair kind of. I mean, talking fact or fiction, that speech is very, very
close to what he actually
said. So,
yes,
like that's a bit of Herb Brooks coming out. And Kurt Russell said that one of Herb Brooks's phrases that he always said was play your game. So at the very end of that Soviet game, when he's going up and down the row of players and yelling at them to play their game, play their game, play their game, that was like Herb Brooks's mantra. So there are bits of him in there.
See, I love that. And I would want to know that as I was watching it, like, this is for, I don't
5 minutes of Googling afterward, guys, you would know these things.
Nope. I want it immediate right here.
Just to kind of sum up, like one more nugget about characters and these actors that I am remembering that I think is so interesting that you have to know is, obviously they decided to go with hockey players instead of actors. So these guys, I was looking up a bunch of them. A lot of them played college hockey. Jim Craig is the only one that didn't play college hockey. He only played high school hockey. And he is only the one that actor kind of went on and actually had somewhat of a successful acting career afterward. But they showed up to do that scene, the again scene with the whistle.
Uh-huh.
And they looked at him and they're like, guys, this is 3 days of shooting and you're going to hate us, but just know that like, this is for the sake of the movie. It's for art. So like it's that whole art. Sequence of them skating and puking, and that is all real. They skated them to death essentially for like 2 or 3 days. So when the guys are like stumbling and kneeling on the ground and like heaving up their guts, that was real. based on what they put them through. So,
and Craig Patrick, his quivering lip, that was real too, because he was watching this and blowing the whistle.
Can you imagine? That's what I was thinking, because Kurt Russell is standing there on the ice with them while they're doing it. Can you imagine him standing there and being like, oh my gosh, I'm just standing here giving my lines and these guys are like puking their guts out.
I'm sure he was all over it, because you know how actors are. It's like all about being one with the character, yeah. You know, so he's like, I remember when I was doing the computer
who wore tennis shoes.
I had to lift all, well, I don't know, whatever.
But so I will say that, like, I like that type of authenticity. We talked about that with Swiss Family Robinson, where that was like a real anaconda.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing where you're like, that is brutal, but it really, really played well in the movie. Yeah, and
it was.
Bravo to them. Like, I, even if they aren't the best actors, like, hands down, that was really a very moving scene. So,
yeah, really cool.
All right, let's go into some rate the reviews so we can get some of this other stuff off our chests.
Oh boy, here we go.
Gorvin, do you want to start us off here? What have you got? What did the internet give you?
Okay, here's the first one I've got. Oh boy, I don't even know. Okay, it's a miracle I got through this is the subject title. Sports movies are so boring and predictable. How did this even become a genre that people pay to see? It's always the same. The movie is no different. Mean coach, team having issues, setbacks. And I'm just reading this and I'm like, here's the problem. Sports movies over the years have ruined Miracle.
Yeah.
Because they have sensationalized everything so much that when you watch this movie, you think it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It is real.
This really happened.
Like, for example, the first game that you kind of in the Olympics that you get to watch with them in Sweden, and they score with like a few seconds left. That actually happened.
Yeah.
They were on the verge of losing and scored with less than 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
So
that's why this whole thing, like, this isn't just about, this whole movie just isn't about that Russian game, even though that's kind of the USSR game is really what's built up. Like, I think they really tried to take a sense of accuracy. Like, do you know for sure if they played Russia a week before the Olympics?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And I think they got spanked.
Yeah, they got killed.
So, like, in that sense, they're not trying to make this more astronomical. Like, when the movie is called Miracle, this is actually like miracles plural.
So,
there was a lot of whoa going on.
So I blame like movies like Remember the Titans, when on the last touchdown play, you've got this like 150-pound quarterback that's like body slamming the other team, like every player. And you're just like, well, this is ridiculous. And Miracle, they really were careful about making sure that everything that they were doing in terms of the games was actually what happened.
And so, like when Mike Ruzioni scoring that goal and running up and running, and then they had 10 minutes left to play, like that is how it happened. Anyways,
yes.
I'm with you, Corbin. I agree. I think sports movies have gotten a little out of control. And so now you can't tell like which ones are good and which ones aren't. Yeah.
So just one last comment from this doofus. Boy. At the very end of their lengthy, uneducated comment, they say, also.
Oh, no.
Also, the coach is ugly. Get Chris Hemsworth next time. Maybe that'll make it more bearable. So this whole time, you're talking about how it's so sensationalized. And at the very end, you're like,
he wants the coach to look like Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna build off of this, Corbin, because okay. I've got a copy. I've got a couple that are like this. I love this one star review from 2017. Oh my gosh, this I can hardly even read it. It says the movie Miracle was very predictable. I knew what would happen at the end from the lap by after the first 30 minutes. I knew also that in the first 30 minutes, the U.S. was going to win. It had no edge, and there was no twist. I'm like, this is based off of a true story. What do you want them to do? I don't understand what you want. Of course they're going to win. This was in the news in the 1980s. This was something that actually happened. There's no story twist here.
The people that write these reviews.
I don't know
reviews,
what you want.
I know. The people that write these reviews, you're wondering if they even understand that the Olympics is a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, they're so unattached. Like, they just don't get it. The sports, with these movies, we've ruined sports for many people.
Okay, are you ready? Oh, Corbin, you're going to love this. This is from Stevie O, 1 star.
Okay.
The concept comes off as completely absurd and pretentious. There is no way America could beat Canada in anything whatsoever. Not even a stupid hockey game.
Oh, dear. It's not Canada. Just so our listeners are aware, it's not Canada. But Canada does not even show up.
CEO, oh, bud. You know what? This is what I've decided. As I watch this movie, it's been interesting because I'm currently in a class and we're studying the 1960s. And that is like, I am wading through a lot of heavy stuff. I mean, we're talking civil rights movement, women's rights movement, the Vietnam War, Watergate, like there's a lot of stuff. And so it was interesting to how they started this movie off, kind of outlining the last couple decades of politics that had happened and kind of essentially America's in this place where they don't have any faith in themselves generally as a nation. They have a president who resigned. You have you're involved in wars that no one believes in and you don't really know what's going on. I really genuinely think people have a hard time with this movie because they're cynical. You know what I mean? Like if you're in a cynical place, this movie is going to be unbearable for you because it's going to come off as really sugary, sweet and fake. But that's the crazy thing about this movie is in the midst of all of that crap, this actually happened and it kind of like ended up being the cultural phenomenon that deserved to have a movie because it kind of pulled America out of its mire and said, look, we can pull together and do something good. You know what I mean? Like we can cheer about something. There is something to be hopeful and be happy about. And so I feel like a lot of these people, they're so cynical about the nation that we live in right now. This movie can't play for them because they're just like, it's impossible. This is ridiculousness. But the interesting thing is that I feel like this movie is actually probably more timely now than it was then. And maybe even when it actually happened in 1980, like we need stuff like this right now. And if it feels uncomfortable for you to engage in stuff that's hopeful, then you may want to take like a look at yourself.
Yeah,
and
the
maybe
notion
tone
of,
down the sarcasm and the cynicism.
The notion of being patriotic is looked down upon.
Yeah.
And to watch this movie, it is stirring to watch these young people come together and play for the country, right?
Yeah.
And maybe, and again, it's just sports, right? But it's bigger than sports, as my favorite person says, Patty. It's bigger than sports. It's bigger than hockey.
Yes. And at the time, in the 1980s, this was a lot bigger than sports. This was like, essentially, we can't go over and fight Russia on the ground, so let's go fight them out in a hockey match. And that can be the war that we have. Yeah. You have some more reviews, Corbin? I have
I've got two more. So this is a 6 out of 10 review. Good movie, wrong title. Here we go. The title doesn't match the story because it's not miraculous given that Herb Brooks knew exactly what he was doing from having figured the Soviets out through extensive obsessive study.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy. I wonder what people think about when they read history books, because obviously America was going to win the war because the British were pathetic. And it's just like, you don't understand in the midst of the conflict.
That was not obvious.
The underdogs
creamed
the people that were supposed to win.
Well, and can you please, like, for our listeners who may not know this, will you please explain the context of the title? Like, what is this based off of, Corbin? It's based off of the quote from the guy who was the sportscaster who was calling the game.
Yeah, Al Michaels.
Right? Al Michaels. There's like
five seconds left. Yes.
He says, do you believe in miracles? Right as it goes down to zero and everyone cheers. Like, that's what he actually said when he was calling the game live.
Yeah.
So whether or not you believe in quote unquote miracles or divine intervention, the title of the movie is based off of, again, historical accuracy of what the sportscaster said when this happened.
Well, and also it's just a frame of reference in terms of the probability of them winning. It was a miracle.
Dismal. Like,
this is like a juggernaut.
Yeah.
And then you've got a bunch of like college kids running around trying to take down this professional team.
I'm trying to think of like an example. Alabama football is kind of a juggernaut. It's like a 2D school beating Alabama in the national championship. Like, this is ridiculous. Or like your yeah, I don't know. Corbin,
the best, well, I mean, the best players, they said this in the movie, the best players in the NHL, all stars.
Yeah.
They put a team together, the best paid players in the world at the time,
yep,
played this Russian team and just got crushed.
Yep.
So.
Which is, it brings up an interesting point. Like, I was kind of having a bit of like an emotional, spiritual experience with this movie in the sense of like, there are some really interesting themes here about, because I feel like that NHL professional team is kind of like a reflection of where our country is right now. You have a lot of people who are awesome at what they do, but there's no sense of unity. You know what I mean? There's no, it's all about ego. It's all about what can I do for me and how do I look? And then you put that team on the ice and they can't function together as a group because it's all about them. But Herb Brooks saw that they were going to have to create a unit that was willing to put their teammates and the team above themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. And that's how they were successful. And it feels like we're just in a time in our country where it's like, guys, we have got to figure out how we can work together instead of yelling at each other. Cause this is not helping anyone.
Okay. Yeah. Cause to your point, when we introduce ourselves, like in the movie, when they had introduced themselves and say that they were from Boston, they're from Minnesota, whatever.
Yep.
In our society today, we're getting really political today.
We this are. Is hey, but this is good stuff.
In our society today, we don't introduce ourselves as Americans. We introduce ourselves by political affiliation or what state we're from or what cause we're all about, which, you know, I mean, that's nice, but we're all Americans. Well,
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Fired up.
And the interesting thing is, again, like Mike Ruzzioni's finest moment, they have been skating on the ice for like hours. They're puking. And he finally says, he like all of a sudden just starts introducing himself as he's gasping for breath. And coach asks him, he's like, who do you play for? Because everybody else has been associating themselves with their college teams.
Yeah.
And he says, I play for the United States of America, which ultimately I think is like, everybody is kind of like, okay, yeah, like that's what we're doing here. I don't know. Oh. I think there is a way for us to be, to identify ourselves as Americans and be grateful for the opportunities that this country provides for us to do better and overcome and change and still like be able to recognize that we made mistakes, but, and that we need to do better. But for some reason, we don't seem to be able to put those things together right now. Anyways, I have more reviews, Corbin.
All right, give us another one. I got one more after this.
This is a half a star from Marcos M. Oh, heavens. Marcos.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Manipulative garbage. I guess if you remove the acting, score, plot, title, script, dialogue, cinematography, directing, and wigs, it would be okay. I guess.
Oh.
I'm like, was Kurt Russell wearing a wig? I guess it's possible.
His bangs were really swooping down low there.
He went back to his tennis shoes days with that hairdo. So I mean, I'm sorry, dude, like I just think there's some people that this movie isn't for. Derek H gave it 3.5 stars. He said it's a little bit flag waving, but what would you expect? I'm like, guys, you do realize this movie is about an American Olympic hockey team, right? So if this was like an NFL Super Bowl game and it was with that much patriotism and flags, I would get if you were kind of like, I'm feeling a little, this is weird, but this is about the United States at the Olympics. So,
you know, we should start
what
doing
do you want
to create some unique movie experiences for these cynics out there. We should start telling stories of when the United States got crushed in a sporting event. You know, they were like the heavy favorites. A little Doug country comes in and beats him. I wonder how that would be received. I'm like being genuinely honest here.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what that would be like to watch a movie that is highlighting.
Where the United States is kind of like the USSR. They're the hoity-toity. We got this.
Yeah.
No probs. Get overconfident.
I'm talking sports here, not like political.
Oh, no, I'm with you.
Games. Like, I would like to watch a movie like that. Maybe they're probably out there. So anyways.
Or like, I was trying to think of a sports story. I'm pretty sure like our swimming team has gotten smashed at the Olympics a couple times, you know.
Well, do you remember
our relay team?
A, here's an Olympic Olympic reference. So the last Winter Olympics, remember our speed skating? It was atrocious.
Oh, we like, were so bad.
We had like these awesome outfits that were supposed to be so amazing, and they were losing like crazy. And the team was freaking out. The country was like, what is going on? And they were switching out their outfits, their skates. And so that might be a good story. The
This is the hard thing in America with sports. This is sad to say, we're so used to being the best that when we're not, we don't lose well. So for instance, like, we're big soccer fans. The men's national soccer team is such a frustrating thing to watch because, like you said, like, they've got the best of everything. They've got the best training facilities. Nike is their sponsor. They've got the highest, like, the greatest merch ever. And yet they go out there and they just, they, we're not the best at soccer. And there are these nations who have nothing who are so much better than us. And I really think, like, Americans take it personally. We're like, we should be the best at everything. Well, we're not, guys. We were in this movie for 5 seconds, but we're not as good at other sports. Okay.
Okay, my last movie review, titled Another Movie to Tell How Someone Utilizes Others to Please Himself.
Oh, heavens.
And that starts off with, it is always like this, period, which I'm already wondering, this person's lived a really rough life because they always, the world is conspiring against them. But here we go. The final scene makes me sick. The trainer, which I think they meant the coach, just walks away to a corridor and cry, which makes me feel like he never realizes that he and the team is together. He walks away because his own dream is fulfilled. And the team is happy on the ground. No one asks where the coach is. So it is like the team is happy because they win a hard game, and the coach is happy because his dream comes true. I'm confused. And the reason why I brought up this particular review is because this is one of my favorite scenes in the movie, when Herb Brooks is all alone by himself. He's not screaming, but he does a double fist pump. And to me, that's like the ultimate celebration.
I think that's a very you celebration. Like, you were an athlete, and I feel like that's kind of how you were. You were kind of a little more private about getting excited about stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you put all this work into it. No one has seen the work you've put into it. And then when everyone else is celebrating and cheering together, having a quiet moment to just feel the accomplishment and just process it. Really cool moment. Love that. Love that scene.
I'm with you. I actually have a review to end on a good note. Okay.
Oh, here we go. All right, let's do
it. A good review. Here we go. 5 stars from Mike M. Thanks, Mike. Says, third best sports movie ever, and I hate hockey.
And that's it?
That's it. That's the review. And I'm like, props to you, Mike. You know what? Hockey's not my favorite sport, because I feel like in the NHL, all people do is punch each other. But I'm with you. Like, this is up there for me in terms of sports movies. Like, this is really up there. So me and Mike, I got you, man.
I read a couple of reviews where people are like, if you don't like hockey or patriotism, then I think they said, like, this is the movie for you or something like that. Or this isn't the movie for you. And I was just like, oh, barf. Like, you don't get excited about USA. Like,
yeah. Here's the deal. It's hard to say stuff like this because people will, like, you will get mowed over by either side for, I'm actually not a super big patriotic person. Like, the 4th of July is fun, but I get really uncomfortable with people who are like hardcore flags Birds, all the time. Flags, like, yes. The US is better than everyone else, and everyone else is scum. That makes me so uncomfortable. And I, like, in that sense, I kind of consider myself more of like a citizen of Earth, like a hippie, where I'm like,
oh boy,
I love everyone. And I don't think I'm better because I'm an American.
Except for the Olympics.
But even then, like, I love cheering for the countries that
love Olympics.
I love the Olympics, but I love cheering for countries that have like 2 people there. That's one of my favorite part of the Olympics too, is watching the opening ceremonies. And you have these countries show up who have like two athletes and five trainers. And you're like, I'm cheering for them because they have nothing and they made it. And I don't care if they come in last place. This is amazing for them.
The trainer's being borrowed from another country, you know, like they just have no resources. And so it's so cool. The Olympics is great. So
in that sense, like, I'm not super patriotic, but I don't love hockey, but I really, really enjoyed this movie and was moved. Again, I think it's about your personality. If you're really cynical and negative, particularly about the state of our country right now, I think this movie is going to be hard for you.
Yeah.
But I think that it can be inspiring if you go in with an open mind and try and just like take it in for what it is, which is like a true story about a team that did exist and did play the games that are seen in this movie and had the same result. Yeah. So it's hit or miss. I get it's not for everyone, but some of these people, I think I'm concerned for them. Like, I want them to feel happy and feel optimistic about life. And some of these people are really cynical. And it makes me sad. Okay.
That's why the internet was created. So they would have somewhere to vent their
bless them. Their I'm negativity. So sorry that this guy thought that the whole movie was about Canada. No, maybe he's Canadian. No wonder he was upset the whole time.
It's like, all right.
We're not Canada. Villains. Okay, let's wrap up with some awards and kind of come down off our miracle review here. Corbin?
Our miracle soapbox.
Yeah.
All right. My stress-inducing moment was the costume party. Boy, I got really uncomfortable. I was Corbin. Just like, oh, man, Herb, I feel your pain, buddy. This is intense. Coming home from a day of work, you're really focused on certain things or you've had a big day and your mind's elsewhere, and then all of a sudden you find out that the whole world, which it feels like the whole world, is coming over to your house. Oh,
I'm with you in the sense of like, he didn't know. I'm not into spontaneity about stuff like that. Like, if I have time to mentally prepare myself, I'm good. But if I'm with you, if I come home and I'm tired and there's tons of people everywhere, it's like old movie reference though, I love that they were dressing up as the couple from the Thin Man movies, which is like Myrna Loy, William Powell, 1930s, 40s. Corbin doesn't know what I'm talking about.
No, no, they're, I just said that. It's not.
They're a mystery crime fighting couple and they're adorable.
No, that's no parties. No, out.
Okay, my first award goes to Best Eyebrows. I don't know what the coach's name is from the Russian team. That I want to know if they put like fake eyebrows on his eyebrows or if that really was the actor's eyebrows, because those things were like, I call my eyebrows Wolfman eyebrows, but his were like bushy and thick. You could have parted them and braided them too.
He like turns his head and his players are ducking. They're just like, geez.
Really though, like, you, it's part, like, you know, your eyebrows are intense when it's part of your profile. That's going to add a little dimension to your profile. So, and he's like picking at him too at the end when he's losing. So anyways, had to shout out the coach for his eyebrows.
All right, my award for the surprise emotional moment. I have these moments where you're like, oh, I'm feeling something right now, and I like this feeling. Right as the U.S. is taking the ice before the Soviet Union game, the crowd is chanting USA. And I know, again, you had your moment of talking about how you're not patriotic, but...
Oh, but in this sense, like, heck yeah. You know what I'm saying?
When this happened, just from the perspective of an athlete, there's a huge crowd there. They're really close to you. They're behind you, supporting you, and you come out. It is really intense, and it could go one of two ways. The pressure can either help you or it can it can eat you. And they performed at the highest stage with that support. And so that's like, I got the chills when I saw that.
That's one of the reasons that this movie is one of the best sports movies for me, is because this isn't Remember the Titans where it's a high school football team. This is the highest stage in sports with the most amount of pressure ever. I mean, you have a country that, this is not just a hockey game. This is like a war with the Soviet Union. This is politics. This is a culture clash. This is communism versus democracy. Like, this is how big this game was. And they played out of their heads and somehow won that game under that kind of pressure on the highest stage, which, what?
Well, and to that point, playing out of their heads, in that game, the U.S. had 16 total shots.
And is this accurate, Corbin? Is this?
Yeah.
This is the real game.
Yeah. the real game, they had 16 total shots. They scored 4 goals. 25% of their shots went in the goal.
That's crazy.
The Soviet Union had 39 shots and they scored 3 goals. So when they showed Jim Craig, like he's flying around, all over
the place,
like he was stopping like everything, doing whatever he possibly could to keep his team in the game. And so to have that result, it was, I mean, not only was it just that they were playing, they were overmatched in the game and they won, it was that they got overwhelmed too. Like the other team was just beating them down and they still held it together and won the game. So,
and I think, I don't know that I ever felt this in my athletic career, but I know that other people have, where like you have these games where you're like, I don't know who this team is that I'm playing with right now. We're kind of on another level that I've never seen before. And I feel like we'll never play at this level ever again in our lives, but it's almost like a surreal experience. I've had games that are close and you're just like, who just are you on. People right now? This is amazing. Yeah. Why can't we play like this all the time?
And the very end of the game is just chaos. You're just hanging on, and to come out victorious is just so cool. And then on top of that, that was just the semifinal. Then they go on and they win the gold medal behind against Finland, which again, some people watching this are like, oh brother, another classic ending to a sports movie. It's like, this is real, dang it. Like, what is wrong with you?
Some sports movies we can't vouch for, but this one, we looked it up and this is real stuff.
Most sports movies are ridiculous, but this one was the real deal. So
yeah. I have a best family lookalike award. Not many of you will get this, but Jim Craig looks so much like our Uncle Carrie, it's uncanny. Like, and he acts like our Uncle Carrie too. Like when he was younger, can you see him with his long hair in the 70s, like being the rebel boy? I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm not
taking that test.
Yeah, that is totally our Uncle Carrie. I'm not taking this test.
We might have to do we'll get his permission. Maybe we can post his picture on Instagram.
Honestly, guys, like he's got those piercing blue eyes and that dark hair. It's kind of crazy. Okay. Anyways, Corbin, any more awards?
My last award, and this, I've already talked about this one, but best cinematic celebration, or in other words, how does a writer and a director show and demonstrate celebrating? And it was Herb Brooks. Like it just connected with me, and I was like, that is how you celebrate this iconic achievement. Yeah. Is quietly by yourself and just, oh my goodness, what just happened?
Yeah,
love it, love it.
I'm with you. And I agree with you. Like, as far as editing a movie together, it was really kind of a nice moment where like you're in the stadium where things are out of control and then they remove you to a quiet spot. So like as an audience, you can really let the impact of what has just happened kind of sink in as it's kind of sinking into him. Cause I think he's kind of in shock because he even expresses to his wife the night before, he's like, we don't match up. Mm-hmm. And she's like, there is no shame in losing this game. And what ifs. Okay. My last award is best end credits song. Dream On by Aerosmith. Are you kidding me?
It is. It's good.
After that entire movie and you're weeping at this point, they do the medal ceremony and then you have Dream On come on. And I'm just like, Steven Tyler, I'm not a huge fan of you, but Aerosmith, you got it right on this one, my friends. And Dream On is one of my favorite oldie songs. Oh, it's so good.
It was quite the toe tapper.
And yes. I thought it was interesting in the credits that Kurt Russell didn't have his name on the end credits until they started like scrolling and his name is Teeny. They took the time to like highlight each of the hockey players, say like who the actor was, who they were playing, and then like what that guy ended up kind of doing for the rest of his life, the hockey player. I thought it was really interesting that they went through all of that and then they kind of pulled up the actual actors in the small scroll afterwards, like Kurt Russell and the guy who played the assistant coach and Patty and
Noah Emmerich. That reminds me, I have an impromptu award. Unsung hero of the movie goes to Mark Johnson. You may not even remember his name. He's the guy that
says, we're family.
He scored two goals in that game against the Soviet Union to keep them in the game. And he also went on, he's now the Wisconsin women's hockey coach and has won 6 national titles since 2006. Gosh. So the unsung hero goes to Mark Johnson. That's and this so is cool. real. Again, yeah. He literally scored 2 goals.
I feel like we need to put a disclaimer on this episode. Where it's like, okay, guys, in the show notes, we're going to write down what was real and what wasn't. So nobody's confused. Oh my goodness. That's really, really cool. And I'm pretty sure he is the blonde guy, right? With the blue eyes.
Yeah. He's quiet. He doesn't really say much, but he is.
Where they're all standing outside with Herb and they're like, you can't bring that other guy in, that he hasn't been here the whole time. And he's like, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. And he's like, we're family. And he's like, this is the family you want to take the Olympics? And they're like, yeah, we're a family. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, this is kind of, that was one of those moments where I was like, I kind of get the Disney cheese thing that people are saying in their views, but I'm okay with it. Because this is charming. I love this.
The hard thing about this movie and writing and directing it was, it's a corny story. That's why people can't stand it. It's too good to be true, and it's true. So yeah. There you go.
Sorry, cynics. You're just going to have to get on. Do the research if you don't believe us, because there's actual film of this happening that you guys can go watch. Google it, for heaven's sake.
They reenacted a lot of the plays and all the different things. So yeah.
Oh, and the cinematography with the hockey is really cool. How they had the camera so involved. You're not watching from the stands. You're one of the hockey players.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, guys. Whew. Did we get it all off our chest, Corbin?
I think it's in a good place.
Okay. Oh, heavens. Okay. Let us rank this bad boy.
Corbin? Okay. My best Disney live action movies. I place this one at number 8, right below Swiss Family Robinson, right above Captain America. It's a little slow at times. And I saw this question, what's true and what's not? I'm sorry, it's a personal problem. But in terms of patriotic and just moving, there are some really powerful moments. So I will put it right there. Not a movie that I think I would just flip on, but I did enjoy it quite much.
So I guess Corbin's saying that he feels more patriotic about Miracle than he does about Captain America. Is that what I'm
absolutely
getting from you?
Absolutely.
Okay, just clarifying.
Captain America is not real, Camry. I'm sorry.
I know he's not real.
Okay, good.
But the comics are real. Okay. And World War II is real.
Storytelling is real. Storytelling is real. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna put this one. Oh, this is a tough one for me.
I went too quick. Usually, I have to I don't know where to put it. I knew right where I wanted
changed,
to put it.
I changed mine. And that's okay. I'm going to put mine at number 5.
Ooh, wow.
Which is going to be below Blackbeard's Ghost, but above Cinderella. I just felt like I had more of an emotional response to this movie. And honestly, my class that I'm taking in my schooling right now probably played a lot in with that. Because like I said, I've been studying the Vietnam War this week and it is intense. So maybe that contributed to it. So I don't know that I would always put it at number 5, but based on this experience, I would put it at number 5. Cinderella is a feel good movie, but this one really kind of pumps me up. You know what I mean?
I'm just waiting for you to keep talking and then put it in a different spot. And
I'm like,
it,
just
and
kidding. It's number 1. Okay, guys. It's number 1. No, it's number 5.
Okay. It's number 5. There you go. All right. Well, there is our review of Miracle. It's a beautiful flick.
Check it
out. Especially, I would recommend it maybe a couple days or a week or two before the Olympics come up.
Especially the Winter Olympics.
Just to get you into that patriotic Olympic spirit.
And I think we both would really encourage you guys to get invested in the Olympics this summer. Honestly, watch the opening ceremonies. Watch archery and rowing and all of the obscure sports, really get invested, because there is a really, really special spirit about the Olympics that you can have an event where the world is able to somewhat put their differences aside for a second and just compete, but also be friends and experience something together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We don't have stuff like that anymore. And the Olympics it can be our little touchstone for 2 weeks to kind of just be unified for 2 seconds as a human family.
You have these cool moments of sportsmanship where people from different countries competing against each other help one another or hug each other or happy for each other. It's really cool. So I love that.
Yay, Olympics. Good choice, Dad.
So, next week, we're going to be working
on something.
We don't know. It's a mystery.
Mystery Mouse Couture.
Stay tuned.
Full disclosure,
on
we haven't planned April yet.
we'll let you know on Instagram, but we're excited to talk to you guys again next week.
Yep. And it'll probably be a voting week. So look it up on Monday and we'll have a good old fashioned vote because it's been a couple weeks.
Yep. So thank you guys. Have a good one.
Bye.
This has been another episode of the Neverland Files. Subscribe and review and join the conversation over on Instagram at the Neverland Files. Thanks for listening.